You know, Ira, we're talking about the Napa Silverados bringing professional baseball to Napa, and want everybody to know that we play in the Pacific Association of Professional Baseball Clubs, and we are what is referred to as an independent or unaffiliated league. And all that means is that we are not affiliated with any major league team, nor are we affiliated with Major League Baseball itself. And the difference that makes for us is that we get to do some things that you won't find in other in affiliated minor league ball. And I'll give you a great example. In San Rafael a couple of years ago, they did the robo-ump, where they actually had a robotic umpire, and the A's player, Eric Burns, was behind the umpire making sure that the robo-ump didn't make any mistakes.
How'd that work?
Actually, it was they said it was a great experience. It was said it was a lot of fun. Last year, they had local sportscaster Mark Ibanez from Channel 2 actually wanted to learn what it was like to be an umpire, so he was a first base umpire.
And he's a local boy. He's from Napa here.
He is a local guy, and actually he is one of three people that is going to be throwing out the first pitch on May the 31st for the Silverados. We've got Congressman Thompson, we've got All-Star Vita Blue, and we've got All-Star Mark Ibanez, because he's just a terrific asset to the community.
Wow, that is great to know. Well, we've got a lot of things happening, and we're finding out more about it all the time from Bruce Johnston, who is the owner and general manager for the Silverados. And the first pitch is way outside, taken for ball one, but Jacob Alvarez, he's 2-for-2 today. He had a base hit, got around to third base in the first inning, singled also in the second inning, plays center field defensively. And he takes the pitch, gets by the catcher, rolls off behind the umpire. And he can't find it. There he sees it. Alvarez is out of Pleasant Grove. He's about 5'10", 5'11", maybe even a little taller than that. As he, right-handed batter, now holds that bat up high. And the pitch comes in, and he slaps it foul. Goes down that left field line. One of the fellas in the Napa Valley College dugout gets out and retrieves the baseball. It's one of the things probably the Silverados will go through a lot of baseball. We'll have to ask you about that in a moment. The pitch is taken just a little high. 3-1 the count goes now to Jacob Alvarez. Getting back into the batter's box. And the pitch comes into him, hits the ball in the air toward left field. A high one. The left fielder battling the sun there, coming over, getting under it. And he's there, and Joey Casas makes the put out as Alvarez flies out to Casas. And that's the first time they were able to get Alvarez out today. We're in the fifth inning. That was the first out. Joe Brazil, their cleanup batter, who has a double, drove in a run, first run of the ball game back in the first inning. Three out of the first four batters got on base in that inning. He hits the ball deep to left, way, way back, and that's going to go foul over the fence. You know, we had that home run hit by Penning back in the second inning that was over the fence. This was even farther, but fortunately for Napa, it was a foul.
Fortunately, I think that wind came into play again. I think that just fortunately blew it to the left of the foul pole. Yeah.
Joe Brazil hits it down to the third baseman, fields it cleanly. His throw to first in time. Well, I'll tell you, for not having any ball hit to him through the first three innings, the last inning, all three putouts were made by the third baseman, and he makes another one here as Hunter Levitt fires it over to Justin Banks at first base. Here's the lefty coming to the plate. Two down here in the top of the fifth inning. Jay Guerrero, 0-for-2. The first pitch just missed. Guerrero struck out swinging in the first inning. And he popped up to the second baseman there leading off the third inning. He's up here in the fifth inning now with two down and nobody on. Takes pitch down a little low, so the count goes 2-0. Ben Agigi has gone all the way for Napa Valley College, the right-hander from Vacaville. The delivering the ball is slapped towards right field. Right fielder going back. It's over his head. It goes to the wall. Bounces off the wall. The play goes to second base. Sliding into second base is Guerrero. He is safe there as Brooks Green out in right field had to hurry to reach that ball and make it close on the play at the second base. But a double by Guerrero that comes with two down brings Morgan Edwards to the plate. He is 0 for 2. Called out on strikes and hit a fly ball to left field. So with two outs, one on, the first pitch to him, backing away from an inside one, didn't break the way that Gigi would like it to have. So we're looking at one ball, no strikes. Short lead off of second is Guerrero. Second baseman inching over that way, but they're not making a play on him. Ball is hit down to the shortstop. Fielded cleanly there by Dinnerman. Over to first for the out, 6-3. And Morgan Edwards is the third out here in the fifth inning. So in the top of the fifth inning, no runs, one hit, no errors, and a runner left on. We go into the home half, and it's the top of the lineup. It'll be Reardon, Cassis, and Banks coming up for Napa Valley. The Storm trails 3-2.
Well, I hear you talking about the Napa Silverados Professional Baseball Club, and just before that that half of the inning, you mentioned something about baseballs. Well, I can tell you this. I'm very familiar with them, having ordered half of our baseballs for the season yesterday.
Which is how many?
Which is 10 cases, and the 10 cases is, I'll try and remember how many dozen that is. It's about 300 dozen baseballs.
Wow.
We will go through, we project to go through $12,000 worth of baseballs in the season. And the interesting thing is, because we're not affiliated with the Major League, we have the ability to put logos on the baseballs. We actually have local companies who are sponsoring the baseballs. So when you find a baseball, you're going to see somebody's logo on it, and you'll see the Silverados logo on it as well. So, you know, that's just one of many things. So last week I ordered baseball bats. I ordered 60 bats, 60 maple bats, which are on their way.
So you don't use metal bats in, huh?
We do not. We're a professional wood bat league. So I ordered my 60 bats. I ordered half of my baseballs for the season. And when I get, next time I get back to the office, I will sign the contract on our uniforms. We've just ordered our uniforms. Our home uniforms will be white with the red Silverado logo across the front and red numbers. And our away jerseys and pants will be gray with Napa in red and black letters on the front.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that, too. And you'll have, 21 on your roster plus the opportunity for two females?
We actually have 22. 22 and then two roster spots for women, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a left-hander, Reardon, who is leading off this home half of the fifth inning. He watches the first pitch for ball one. Reardon struck out in the first inning and flied out to the center fielder in the third inning. So he is 0 for 2, the leadoff batter in the inning and the leadoff batter for the Storm in their half of the first inning. Next pitch is in tight for ball two. Reardon getting ahead of the pitcher now. Two balls and no strikes. Cassis on deck with Banks to follow for the Storm here in the fifth inning, trailing 3-2. Just down a little bit low. And runs a count 3-0. He looks down the third baseline. And Dan Parker's not even close to the coach's box there. He's way over toward the dugout. The pitch missed outside for ball four. So he walks him on four pitches here to lead off the fifth inning. That represents the potential tying run now going down to first base with nobody out. We'll see if they attempt to sacrifice, if they elect to play it straight up. And they've got the number two hitter in their batting order that has pretty good control of the bat. That is Joey Cassis. Cassis is out of Vacaville. Same school where Gigi, the pitcher for Napa, is from. He shows bunt. Pulls the bat back and takes inside for ball one. Well, we have, at third base, Paul Wiebens down there at third instead of Dan Parker now. So, and we have a one ball, no strike count to Cassis. There's the throw to first base, diving back in and just averting a tag by Joey Guerrero. It was the Aaron Reardon, he's back taking a short lead, not very far off. There's another throw, even though he wasn't getting it, he didn't even have to dive back that time. He just was able to just take a couple steps back to the bag. But Carter Koch, the pitcher, showing that he knows he's there and doesn't want him to get too much of a lead. There's another throw. So he's had three straight throws since he's pitched to the batter. The batter being a right-hander, Cassis up there, who is 2-for-2 today and has scored both of the Storm's run. He shows bunt, takes outside. There's the catcher with a quick throw down to first base. Again, Reardon beats the throw, gets back to the bag. Cassis with two hits, two runs, looks down to Paul Wiebens, third base. So we have a right-hander on the mound facing the right-hander at the plate. Hesitation, another quick throw to first. Boy, he is just keeping Reardon alert over there. You can't just relax for a moment as the pitcher's letting him know, I know you're there. It's a 2-0 delivery, and the pitch is taken and just missed for 3-0. So that's seven straight balls here to start the bottom half of the fifth inning. And if Cassis takes this and it's a ball four, that will put two on with nobody out. But let's see what happens. And we'll see what Koch can do on the mound. As he there goes the runner. He takes ball four. There's a throw down the second. It doesn't matter anyway because he had I thought he took ball four. I guess that was a strike, and he's thrown out at second base. I thought the umpire had called ball, but apparently that was just a delay on the strike, and Reardon was thrown out to second. Wow, what a development. So that goes to 3-1. I thought that was ball four, but it wasn't. Now there is ball four. So Reardon did not get a good jump, and but on a 3-0 count, he was trying to steal. And that will bring up Banks, who has two hits in two at-bats, and two RBIs, and his team has the two runs. Those are the two that have been produced by Justin Banks. He's the left-handed batter. Cassis, who has been up three times and on three times, gets back to the bag as the pitcher is throwing over there, trying to keep him close. Cassis was hit in the head when he attempted to steal back in the first inning. He did steal it successfully. Turned out he was okay. There's a kind of just a little token throw, a little toss. You do that so you can set up a quick throw on your next attempt over there to pick off the base runner. One down, one on, and still waiting for the first pitch to come to Banks. And there it is. The catcher very alertly jumped out in front of the plate after he caught the ball in case he was going to throw down to second. See if we have the shortstop covering out there at second base. Abraham, by the way, is the on-deck batter. Another throw to first.
I think he's thrown to first more than he has to the plate in this inning.
Yeah, he has, yeah. Yeah, particularly when Cassis was over, or when Reardon was over there. Cassis is over there right now. He has couple stolen bases. Let's see. He's taking a sizable lead. There comes the pitch. Inside gets away from the catcher, but not enough for Cassis to advance. 2-0. It's interesting to see, you know, when you have a 3-0 count, if you do elect to have your runner take off, or whether you wait till you have more of a favorable count, like a as far as the 3-2 situation. There goes the runner this time. There's the throw down to second. It's on the third base side of second, and sliding in safely is Cassis. So fortunately for Napa, that was on the third base side.
Yep. If
that had been on the first base side, it would have been a very close play down there. So another stolen base for Cassis, his third of the day. And a hit would mean a run that would tie up the game. It's 3-2 right now. Mendocino in the lead. Napa at the plate here in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Runner taking the lead. Pitch taken outside. Goes to 2-1 now. Banks in that number three spot. That's where you frequently put your number one hitter in that third slot in the batting order, and he's delivered today with two RBI singles. Right fielder going off a bit to his right as well. It's also the left fielder going a bit to his left. Here's the hesitation, and now the pitcher steps off the mound there, off the rubber. And the batter backs out of the batter's box. Banks, who is a sophomore, has a chance to definitely play at the next level. Quite a few of these guys will have a chance to go on and play baseball after they finish their 2 years at Napa Valley College. Here's the hesitation and the step off the rubber, and nobody covering the bag, but Cassis just was able to easily get back to second base. One down and one on, and a 3-2 lead for Mendocino. Napa threatening here in the bottom half of the fifth inning with a 3-1 count, and Banks waiting at the plate. On the mound, Carter Koch. Here comes his pitch. Ball is taken low, and that is the third straight batter to get a walk. One of them, Reardon, was thrown out attempting to steal. Cassis stays at second base. Banks is on at first base. And Abraham from Alhambra is the batter. Josh hitting to a double play to end the first inning. Grounded out second to first in the third inning to end that inning. So there's going to be a little timeout here as the pitching coach wants to come out and say something to Carter Koch. This is going to be an important batter with one out and two on and a one-run game.
Absolutely. I wonder if he's going to stay out there any longer. He looked awfully good when he started threw a lot of strikes in the beginning, and this past couple of innings he just hasn't seemed to have the same command as he did early.
Well, we haven't noticed anybody warming up down that right field line. Now we do. Now they're sending someone down there to at least loosen up. It looks like that is Turner Gastison, who is a right-handed pitcher, 5'11", 155-pound sophomore from Galena High School in Reno, Nevada, that is warming up. The batter here is Josh Abraham, right-handed hitter, facing the right-hand slants of Koch. Carter Koch checks the runner off a second, pitches down low for a ball. Well, Koch's having a bit of a control problem. He did last inning when he walked two batters last inning, and he's walked three in this and six so far in the game. The 1-0 delivery on the way, and that caught the outside corner. The way outside corner. But that we can't see the plate here. We're blocked by the catcher, but looks to be a bit wide, but catches that to outside. That's one the ump has been consistent on. Here's the pitch. That just missed the outside.
They've been wearing that. That thing's going to be worn out by the time the game's over.
Very seldom does he come inside, unless it's a left-handed batter, and he'll come in for that. Here's a right-hander now. It's a 2-1 count. Runner at second represents a potential tying run if they can get him in. And at first base, the potential lead run here in a 3-2 ball game in the bottom half of the fifth inning. The ball is hit down to the third baseman. He goes over to second, throws it out into right field. Coming in as a tying run as Cassis scored. Going down to third base and holding up there is Justin Banks. And an error on the shortstop there allows Abraham to be safe. And I thought for a moment that Austin Jackson, the shortstop, was going to try to tag the runner who was right there in front of him. He did not. He elected to try for the out at first base and threw the ball down the right field line. And they did a good job of backing up and getting the ball in to keep Banks from scoring. But Cassis did score to tie up the ball game now at three.
I believe he scored all three runs, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Cassis scored on his two singles, and now he has scored all three of the runs for Napa. Pitch is taken for a strike. Dinnerman out of Camp Olindo He's the shortstop for the Storm. We're tied at three now here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Runners on the corners and swing at a miss. Boy, that's good breaking pitch there. Runners at the corners with Banks at third and Abraham at first base. Dinnerman the batter, Shaw on deck. Just one out so far here in the fifth inning. And that one's way outside. It gets by the catcher. Here comes the runner from third base. And Banks scores. And the Storm has taken the lead as Justin Banks came in on the error on the pass ball. That allowed Abraham to go down to second base. So that's the first lead in the ball game for Napa Valley College.
There is a lot of room to. There's a lot of ground to cover if the ball gets by the catcher. It's yeah. Wow, quite a run.
Yeah, Banks is not that fast, but he was able to get in from third base on a breaking pitch. Boy, that looked like it was coming right at the batter, yeah. And then broke across.
I flinched too. Yeah. I thought he was going to be hit.
That was close to strike. That evens the count. Two balls, two strikes, one out, and runner at second base in the person of Abraham. And the delivery, the breaking pitch, it's fouled out of play off to the right. Beautiful day for baseball. Great to be out. Great time to come out for the 75th anniversary of Napa Valley College. A lot going on. And we're here at the college baseball field, Storm Field, as we're in the fifth inning in a 4-3 Napa lead. As Koch delivers the next pitch. Ooh, that was in tight. He had a notion. He was ready to pull the trigger on that. But held up in time. Makes the count full at 3-2. Abraham takes a pretty good lead off of second base. Now the second baseman kind of indicating he might try to cut over there, but he does not. Ooh, the ball hit him.
Ouch.
It drilled him in the back there. Wow, that's the first Napa player to be hit by the pitch. One of the players for the Eagles was hit by the pitch. Carter Kimberly was hit. And Dinnerman took it in the back. He turned so it didn't get him on the side in the rib part. And that puts two on. Still only one out and brings Shaw to the plate. He walked last time, and he grounded out to the third baseman. He's 0-1. The breaking pitch that came over the inside corner. Batter Shaw backs away, looks at the umpire. Who got kind of a funny glaze there in his eyes. He was just looking at the ump. Here is the 0-1 delivery coming into him now, and that is just inside. Well, working the inside to this right-hander, which is surprising because he's been getting good calls on the outside. Shaw is one of two freshmen. He's from the MEL, played baseball at Rodriguez over in the Cordelia area. Here's the pitch to him, and down a little low, bounced away from the catcher, but not far enough to allow either of the runners to advance. Abraham at second base, and Dinnerman at first base, and Green on deck. Andrew Shaw waits at the plate for the 2-1 delivery. And here it comes, and it's hit toward left field. That may be in there. Left fielder coming over. He's able to get there. Nice play, and he quickly fires it back into the second baseman, and getting back to the bag there was Abraham on a fly ball to left field from Shaw. Made good contact, but well played out there by Carter Kimberly in left field. Then that gotten down, that would have brought in another run. But now there are two outs. And two runners on, two runners home in the inning for a 4-3 lead in the fifth. Breaking pitch, just missed that outside. That's been Carter Koch's favorite pitch.
I think it has, all day, from the first pitch till this one.
Yep, here he is out there now with the next pitch. The ball is hit towards center field. Center fielder going back, and reaches up, and he grabs it. And that will be the third out. Again, good contact by Brooks Green. But the center fielder pulls it in. In that inning, seven batters came to the plate. They scored two runs without a hit in the inning. There were three walks, a hit batsman, and an error in the inning. And after five complete innings now, it's Napa Valley College Storm 4 and Mendocino College Eagles 3.
So, Ira, we were talking about the Napa Silverados, professional baseball coming to Napa. We're obviously very, very excited about that. We were talking about some of the differences that some of the things that we can do because we're an unaffiliated league and not affiliated with the major league. So we can sign one-day celebrity contracts. The team down in Pittsburgh has signed Jose Canseco to a one-day contract, I think, for the last 3 years. And then a couple of the years ago, the other owners said, "Hey, you're packing the stadium. Can we hire him for a weekend too?" So he's been around the league. You may remember there was a guy everybody referred to as Spaceman, a guy named
Bill Lee.
Absolutely. He actually is in the Guinness Book of World Records with the San Rafael Pacifics. He won in one game. He played every position on the field in a different inning. In one game, he actually pitched, and he was the oldest person to ever win a professional baseball game at age 71. I actually met Bill. He lives in the Napa area, so he may be a frequent visitor to the ballpark. We mentioned that we have two roster spots for women. We have a 22 man roster. We'll carry 11 position players. We'll carry two catchers. We'll carry one of each of the other positions, a utility infielder and utility outfielder. And then we'll catch 11 pitchers. And then we have two additional roster spots for women. So if we find some women who want to play a little hardball and are pretty good, we're going to invite them to come join us.
Well, that'd be interesting. That'd be real good. Well, we have a change in pitchers. A local guy, Jared Ray, has come on. Jacob Ray, he's a right-hander, and his first pitch is over for a called strike to Sam Penning. Penning had a home run back in the second inning, popped up to the second baseman in the third. He's 1-for-2. He's leading off this sixth inning, and he hits the ball towards left center. Left fielder coming over, center fielder coming over. Left fielder is there, and Joey Casas makes the put out of Penning for the first out here in the top half of the sixth inning. That'll bring Matt Silva to the plate. He's 1-for-2. Base hit, scored a run in the second inning. Napa's leading 4-3 here as we're in the sixth inning. And the first pitch by Ray on the outside corner. And he has been able to see that the umpire likes that particular position. Made his first pitch to him right there. Next pitch is hit out to center field for a base hit as Matt Silva gets his second hit in the game. That's the seventh hit in the game. We're having a little trouble here with our seating, getting that chair you have. Bruce is top heavy. That is really something to contend with.
I think we got it.
Let me get adjusted here in our limited booth space. And the pitch is taken for a strike. This is Tyler Carrasco. The base runner, Silva, over at first base represents the potential tying run here in the sixth inning. Here is Ray delivering. The ball's hit to center field. Center fielder moving back just a couple strides, had him played straight away, and that was the perfect spot for him for the second out, flying out to Reardon in center field. The leadoff batter in their batting order, Carter Kimberly, who walked, has been hit by a pitch ball, and flied out. So he is 0-for-1, but has been on base twice. Two down here in the top half of the sixth inning. 4-3, Napa in the lead. And the pitch bit inside. 1-0 to Kimberly. Jackson is on deck. Would like to get up here in the sixth inning. Right-hander Jacob Ray fires a strike on that outside corner. Loves that spot. Talking about the umpire.
Yeah, absolutely does.
So it's One ball, one strike, one runner on base, representing that potential tying run. And the ball is stroked foul down the third baseline. Nice bite-handed stop by Hunter Levitt on the ball that was foul. So it makes it a 1-2 count now to Carter Kimberly. He's about 6 feet tall. He's a sophomore, plays left field defensively. Scored the first run of the ball game after having walked to lead off the game. The breaking pitch is hit out into left field. That'll be a base hit. The second hit in the inning and sends Silva over to second base. Kimberly at first base, bringing Austin Jackson to the plate. Got an RBI on a sacrifice fly back to second inning after popping up in the first inning and grounding out then in the fourth inning. So he is 0-for-2, but an RBI. Right-hander. Alvarez moves on deck for the Eagles. Out of coming in from Ukiah, Mendocino County. The pitch on the inside corner that time for a strike. These two teams played here yesterday, and Napa came from behind, trailing 6-3 to win 10-6 in that game, scoring 6 runs in the seventh inning. And here is the hesitation by Ray. Looks in, delivers. The ball is hit, but it goes foul off to the right. So after the ball game yesterday, Mendocino went back to Ukiah. And then they turn around and come back here for an early afternoon game today. They had a kind of a late afternoon game yesterday, but they did not stay over. They went back to Ukiah. The pitch is hit down the right field line. Right fielder's got a long way to go, and it's in foul territory. He made a dive for the ball and just missed it. Wow. It was well stroked, but hit foul. Brooks Green gave it a good effort there. He diving right at the last moment to see if he could possibly snare the ball, but it just eluded him and his glove. So it was a long strike, long, noisy strike here with two down, no balls, two strikes. Jacob Ray checks the runner off second. Runner off first takes a long lead. Ball is up high for ball one. Two on and two out here in the top half of the sixth inning. Napa leading it 4-3 over Mendocino in this Bay Valley Conference matchup. Jacob Ray from Napa checks the runner, looks in. Curveball did not break, and it just kind of stayed in there. And the little bit it did break was not enough to get it across the corner. Evens the count. Two balls, two strikes, two outs, two on. Righty facing righty. Ray checks, runner, kicks the leg, and the ball is hit right to the third baseman. He grabs it there on the line, and that will retire the side. Boy, any place else, that would have been in there for a hit, but right at the third baseman. In that top half of the sixth inning, no runs, two hits, no errors, and there were a couple left on. As we go into the home half of the sixth, it'll be the number 8, Levitt, number 9, Whitehead, and the top of the order, Reardon, coming up for Napa, leading it 4-3. No.
That was funny.
Charles. You know, be funny on the swap shop, okay? That's where we love you, on the swap shop. You keep our attention there. You got our attention on this, but we've got the fellow that is really doing a yeoman's job of helping us out. First time that he has helped us out. First time he's ever seen a baseball game. No, that's not right. No. Bruce Johnston, the owner and general manager of the Silverados.
You know, the one thing we haven't talked about yet, is the schedule. Again, we start our season on the 31st of May. We'll play on the 1st of June, both of those here on the Napa Valley campus. Then we begin our travel around. Our first two games are with San Rafael. Then we play San Rafael again following that, and then we rotate around the league. And our league consists of six teams. You've got San Rafael, you have Sonoma, you have Pittsburgh, and you have Vallejo. Vallejo won the league last year. Sonoma won the league the year before, and the 2 years before that, the Santa Fe Pacifics won. So we're very excited about visiting the parks. And then the other team that we have in the league is also a newcomer to the league. We're going to play against the Martinez Clippers, obviously named for the famous Martinez native Jolton Joe, the Yankee Clipper. So we're very excited to see there. I've been to all the field and seen all the facilities except for Martinez, but I understand it's a marvelous municipal facility. The stadiums are you know, they're smaller than your average major league ballpark, even minor league ballpark, but it lends itself to a great fan experience where the fans are close to the action, where the fans are close to the players, and we're also going to have a lot of fun. We've got I was advised before I started this that 640 times during the year we will have something to do in between innings. So you're going to see all sorts of fun.
Wow.
Stuff. Racing.
That's what Emily is working on.
That's one of the things that Emily's working on. Emily joined us on the 1st of April, Emily Rutherford, and we're absolutely delighted to have her on board.
Is she from Rutherford?
No, she actually lives here in Napa. Okay. She's a recent graduate of Sonoma State, but she now lives in Napa while she's working for us.
All right.
Terrific gal.
We have Hunter Levitt set to lead off here in the bottom half of the sixth inning, Napa leading at 4-3, and he takes the pitch just a bit outside but far enough to be ball one. On deck is Tyler Whitehead, Aaron Reardon to follow here in this sixth inning. Oh, we have a new pitcher out there, yeah, for the Eagles. Swing and a miss. Now we'll pick up that information for you. I don't know if we have that. Yeah, we do have information. It's Jared Hiblin. He's a 5'11 sophomore out of Cloverdale. Jared Hiblin, a right-handed pitcher. And the pitch is taken for a strike by Levitt there, the right-handed batter. So Hiblin. I'll tell you about the spelling here, but the way they pronounce it is a little different. The pitch is taken outside for ball two. 2-2. Spells his last name H-I-B-B-E-L-N. Pronounced Hiblin. And he is the new pitcher. His pitch just missed the outside corner. So the Napa Valley College Storm. Trying to get something started here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Pitch up high, taken for ball four. Well, Hiblin's having a similar problem to what Carter Koch had earlier. A little bit of control. So the leadoff batter getting on by a walk. That's what happened in the fifth inning as well. And in the second inning, leadoff batter walk. So of six innings, they've had three of the leadoff batters get on base by virtue of a walk. Napa's left six runners stranded, but the Eagles have left eight runners stranded. They've left one on each inning except the third when they were retired 1-2-3 in that frame by Agigi, who as it stands now could be the winning pitcher if the relievers can hold the Eagles down. It's 4-3, Napa in the lead. We're in the bottom half of the sixth inning. Tyler Whitehead is the batter, and he bunts the ball down the third baseline, and they're letting it roll, and it just goes foul, and then Joe Brazil just scoops the ball up as it just went into the foul territory. So Whitehead will have to come back. He had that beaten out. If that stayed fair, he was going to be safe at first base and had Levitt down to second base. On deck is the top of the order, Aaron Reardon, who's had a walk and strikeout and a fly ball. But right now they're chatting as Paul Wiebens, the assistant coach, had called Tyler Whitehead over his way. Whitehead played at Justin Siena High School on some very successful teams over there. Shows bunt. It's a 1-1 count on him with the runner at first. There's a throw to first and diving back in and just getting there. It was a close play at first base. Levitt taking a little bit of a chance there on his lead, Jay Guerrero, the first baseman for the Eagles, trying to keep him close to the bag, staying right on there. And the pitch is up high. And the first baseman, Guerrero, is left-handed. That means the glove on the right hand, so he can have that right there to put down on the runner if the pitcher gets the pickoff attempt right there to the glove. Here's the pitch. The ball is bunted in the air, and it's going to be foul. So that makes it 2-2, so he probably will not be bunting now. If you bunt foul and you have two strikes, that would be a recorded strikeout for the pitcher, so he doesn't want that to happen. Tyler Whitehead, sophomore at Napa Valley College. He's just motioning that bat back and forth, getting ready. See what the 2-2 offering is. It's not going to come for a while. There's a throw to first. Nice pig over there, right to the glove of Guerrero, but Levitt was not that far off the bag at the time. Comes off a couple strides now as Hiblin looks in, has a sign. There's Hiblin's pitch taken, just missed outside. Count goes full. Nobody out. Base runner at first base. Bottom of the sixth. 4-3 score. Napa in the lead. Mendocino in the field. Napa batting here with Tyler Whitehead waiting for that full count delivery. There's another throw to first. And Hiblin does a nice job of getting that ball right to Guerrero's glove, wherever Guerrero's positioning his glove on that pickoff attempt. But you'd go a little wide one time, and that could advance the runner. 3-2 delivery. Here it comes. And the ball is slapped out into left field. It will be stopped by the shortstop on a great play over to first base. I thought it was past him.
I did too.
But he dove for the ball and made the grab and picked himself up and threw out Whitehead. I'm not sure. But a great play over there by the shortstop. So credit Austin Jackson with a fielding gem on that.
I don't think you want to take a nap at third base today.
Wow. So that did move Hunter Levitt over to second base. There's one out now, but in scoring position. Try to add to that one-run lead is Aaron Reardon. He's a left-hander facing the right-hander on the mound. And that breaking pitch came on the inside corner that time for a strike. Reardon, 0-2 and a walk. And that leadoff position. And then the next two batters, Cassis and Banks, have not made outs yet. They've been on base all three times that they've been up. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. May have fouled it there at the feet of the catcher, Tyler Carrasco. Guerrero, the first baseman. Silva at second base. Jackson, the shortstop. Brazil at third base. Kimberly out in left field. Alvarez in center field. And Sam Penning over in right field. Tyler Carrasco is the catcher. And Hiblin, the new pitcher, Jared Hiblin from Cloverdale, played baseball at Cloverdale High School. And he's ahead of the batter, no balls, and two strikes, runner at second base, and one down. The hesitation, the left leg kick, and the pitch. Ooh, he had a change up there that just missed. So we're at 1-2 now on the batter. Paul Wiebens coaching at third, very close to that coach's box now. Remember Alan Rossi or Justin used to be over by the dugout. There's a swing and a miss. And so Reardon down on strikes for the second time in the ball game. Well, here's a guy they haven't made it out yet. The only way they got him out, they hit him in the head with the baseball. And that, he was trying to steal second. Joey Cassis had a single in the first, a single in the third, scored both those times, had a walk in the fifth, and scored the third run of the game for Napa. And that He's up here now, and he hits the ball out into right center. It's a base hit. Rounding third base is Levitt. He's being waved on. The throw goes into second base, and an RBI single, and Cassis now 3 for 3 and a walk, and now an RBI as Levitt has scored the fifth run for Napa. And here's a guy they haven't gotten out either. Justin Banks is 2 for 2 and a walk. He has 2 RBIs, has scored a run. He has a runner at first base. We'll see if he's going to attempt to steal. He has already stolen 3 bases today. So Cassius.
He's stolen 3 bases and scored 3 times. He's having a pretty good day, I'd have to say.
And has been hit in the head 1 time.
That's right.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be a little cautious about going down to second if they're going to throw down there after having been hit in the head earlier. Ball is hit to center field. Center fielder going back, now stopping, getting under it, and making the put out as Banks flies out to the center fielder to end the sixth inning. But in that inning, 1 run score. There was only 1 hit. There was a walk in the inning. And we go to the seventh inning. It'll be Alvarez, Brazil, and Guerrero coming up for Mendocino. Napa is leading now 5-3.
I think it's great. I'm glad they dug themselves a those 2 runs that they scored and then the 1. So 2-run lead going into the next inning. And we're talking a little bit about the Napa Valley College Open House. It is on until 4 o'clock this afternoon, so you still have a little bit of time to get to the campus right off the Napa Vallejo Highway. An absolutely beautiful campus. And we still are giving away Silverado's baseball tickets. So we'll be doing that until 4 o'clock this afternoon when the open house stops. It's been a great experience out here. There was a lot to do on the campus. You got a chance to visit all the different departments, law enforcement day, just a really great event celebrating the 75th anniversary of what is really an incredible learning institution in Napa. You know, in addition to preparing people for 4-year college, they also do a great job preparing people for trades, and so I would encourage everybody to take advantage. This is a terrific. They were voted, I believe, last year or the year before the best 2-year college in the state of California, and I think it's a reputation that's very well deserved. Dr. Ron Kraft and his staff do an incredible job here. They've been an incredible partner for us. We're obviously using the field, but more than that, working with their culinary department. Offering internships to Napa Valley College students. So I thank them for all that they've done. And I if you haven't had a chance to come out to the 75th anniversary, you've still got a few more minutes, and I encourage you to spend a few to do that.
Well, when we come back in the next half inning, we'll ask you about some of the changes that you might see that will be happening as the Silverados take over the Storm Field. As the first pitch showing bunt and taking ball one is Alvarez, who made that put out in center field to end the sixth inning. Alvarez is 2 for 3, base hit in the first and second innings, and fly ball to the left fielder the other time. Fly ball to center field. It's going to drop in front of the center fielder, one of those they used to call Texas Leaguers that just found it over the shortstop's head and in front of the center fielder. So Alvarez has his third hit in the game. Napa leading 5-3 here. We're in the seventh inning, scheduled 9-inning contest. On the mound is Jacob Ray from Napa, looks in, checks the runner, delivers into tight, but got that inside corner. Wow.
Nice pitch.
Wide plate today.
Yes. Made up of quite a few corners.
Brazil, he's got some power, had a double back in the first inning, and he hits the ball to right field this time. Right fielder backing up. He gets there, makes the put out, and going back to first base is Alvarez as Brazil flies out to the right fielder, Brooks Green, for out number one in the seventh inning. Jay Guerrero had a double last time up, struck out, and lined out to the second baseman, hit a line drive right at the second baseman leading off the third inning. He's a left-handed batter. He'll face Ray, the right-handed pitcher, who throws the ball over to Justin Banks, the first baseman. Banks has a good idea about how to play first base. Ball is hit in the air to shallow left field. Left fielder coming in, getting under it, and making the put out of Guerrero. That'll bring up Morgan Edwards, who is 0 for 3, called out on strikes, flied out to the left field and grounded to the shortstop in his appearances. Runner at first base, two outs here in the seventh inning, 5 to 3, Napa in the lead. Ray on the mound, delivers, and it's over for strike one. The Eagles scored once in the first, twice in the second, and that's where they got their three runs. There's throw to first. Napa scored one in the first, one in the third, two in the fifth, and one in the
one in the sixth.
Yeah. So we're here in the seventh. The ball hit foul to the backstop. Two down and one on for Mendocino. This is the last time these two teams play in regular season. They have a three-game series, and Napa won the first two games of the series. There's a throw, and the ball is hit out between the shortstop and the second base into center field. Rounding second is Alvarez, but he decided not to go on to third base as Morgan Edwards holds up at first with a base hit, bringing the guy that had the home run back in the second inning, Sam Penning, to the plate. Out of Windsor, California, he's 6'1" sophomore. Defensively, the right fielder holds the ball, bat up high as Ray looks in and delivers way outside. 1-0 the count. The two runners on base represent the potential tying run if they can get them in. They're trailing right now 5-3 here in the seventh inning. It's an important batter up there now, Penning. And it came inside. It may have come close to hitting him. I don't know if it did, but the ball sails all the way to the backstop. And the umpire's coming out. It did not hit him, but came very close.
It came close. I thought it was. I thought for sure there wasn't any way he could dodge that, but he did.
But anyway, the ball then sailed to the backstop, and the runners advanced. Alvarez is now down at third, and Edwards is at second, so they are in scoring position where a base hit could tie up the game. And the batter is ahead 2-0 on the count. Ray delivers the next one, and the ball is popped out of play to go over the backstop. Penning at the plate, home run in the second inning. Silva on deck, who's had two hits in the game. The Storm not wanting to go that far, though. They want to get out of the inning right here if they can. And the ball is popped out of play off to the left. I think out of play, but the catcher and third baseman are each giving a little pursuit, but it hit behind the dugout. Well, it evens the count now. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. And right now, a two-run lead for Napa. But it's predicated on staying there if Penning can make an out. He's a right-handed batter. The right-hander, Jacob Ray, looking in, getting the sign from Josh Abraham, the catcher, and delivering. Oh, that is close, but it is called ball three. Yet, of course, the umpire has a much better view than we do. He's right there. And that was all we can say is close.
Close.
And Ray was wanting that pitch, you know, on a 2-2 delivery. He wanted to get out of the inning, but it goes to full at 3-2, and here it comes, and the ball is hit in the infield. First baseman goes over in foul territory, gets under it, and he makes the put out. Justin Banks in foul territory makes the grab, and no damage then. No runs, two hits, no errors, and two runners left on. They have now left 10 runners stranded in the seven innings. And we'll go into the home half of the seventh inning. And the power, Abraham, Dinnerman, and Shaw coming up for Napa Valley College, leading Mendocino now 5-3. So Let's find out a little more about tickets for the Silverados, as I know you are selling season tickets yet, but not individual game tickets as yet.
That's correct. We're selling season tickets, and we're going to continue to do that. The next thing that you'll see come out, and it's probably be either, I think it's tomorrow, scheduled for tomorrow, we will begin to sell our ticket packages, where we've got three different ticket packages. We have the Friday Night Lights package, which gets you a ticket to every Friday game. We have Saturday Night Fever package, which gives you tickets to every Saturday night game. And then we have Sunday Fun Day at the park. And Sunday Fun Day is all the Sunday games. And those are six-game packages. And you can get tickets by going to our website, www.silveradosbaseball.com. And then hopefully by the end of the week, this week, we'll start selling individual game tickets. We're also going to be releasing our promotional calendar, so you can look and see which particular promotions you might want to go to. We're going to have some Heritage Night. We'll have Italian Heritage, Hispanic Heritage. We'll have Firefighters Night. We're going to have Peace Officers Night. We're going to have Girls Night Out. We're going to have Bros and Brews. And so look for the promotional calendar on our website, www.silveradosbaseball.com.
Yeah, and we have the program every Friday from 10 to 10:30. That is the Silverado Dugout, and we'll find out about these events as they're coming up.
Absolutely.
Well, here we go in the home half of the seventh inning, and a swing and a miss by leadoff batter Josh Abraham from Alhambra. Don't you just love that, Abraham from Alhambra. Yeah, he is a right-handed batter. That's over in the Martinez area. You probably knew that. Here's the pitch, and the ball hit to the backstop, foul. He's leading it off, he being Abraham. Dinnerman is on deck. And Shaw scheduled up third in this inning. 5-3 score. Napa Valley College Storm in the lead. Looking in is Hiblin in his second inning of work. And there's been time asked for by the catcher, as Hiblin was going into his windup and going into his motion, and the catcher had asked for a timeout, not the batter. Okay, he's set now. No balls, two strikes the count to Abraham as the pitch comes in, hit foul to the backstop again. And it's kind of interesting that Paul Wiebens, the assistant coach, is right at the dugout, not anywhere close to the third base coaching box.
Well, I don't think you're required to have a third base coach, but sort of surprising not to see one.
He is the designated third base coach. And here's the pitch to the plate. Ball is stroked out into right field, a base hit. He just reached out and met the ball and poked it out into right field for a leadoff single by Abraham. That was good batting up there. Good
Absolutely. Control
of the bat.
And with two strikes and no balls, great control.
Yeah. Dinnerman coming up to bat now. He was hit by a pitch ball the last time he was up, and he has walked and hit a ground ball to the first baseman. So he's 0-for-1, but has been on base twice. Again, he's a right-handed batter. Andrew Shaw moves on deck for Napa Valley College. They lead it 5-3. Runner, a very short lead off of first. Pitch was taken up high. Ball one to Dinnerman. Plays a good shortstop. Good fielding baseball player. They went to Campolindo High School, where they have really good athletics over there in Miramonte, that area. The ball is bunted down the third baseline. It's going to advance the runner, but the third baseman comes in and makes a good pickup and throws out the batter, Dinnerman. So he's retired 5-3 on the sacrifice bunt. And on the play, Abraham moves down to second base. So that'll bring up Shaw. Shaw, in his first year at Napa Valley College, played his high school baseball in the MEL over at Rodriguez High School in the Cordelia area. And the first pitch to him is missed for ball one. 1-0, Napa in the lead, 5-3 here in the bottom half of the seventh inning. Game sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. Here's the hesitation. Now the delivery. Ball is hit toward right center field, or left center field. The center fielder gets over there and makes a great catch, a running catch, extending his arms out there. The glove hand made the grab, and Shaw is retired. But center fielder Alvarez, he is good.
Very, very fast.
Sign him up.
Very fast. Like, as soon as his NCAA eligibility is gone, have him give me a call.
Alvarez has had a good day at the plate, too. He's from Pleasant Grove. I think he lives on the Stockton area, but goes to school over there at Ukiah. So there are two outs, and the batter is Brooks Green. The right-hander from Bear Creek swings and misses for strike one. Check that. No, here we – yeah, that's Green. He stepped out of the batter's box for a moment, looked down at third baseline, and have Wiebens, the coach, there in the box. Coach's box there. Stop. So it's no balls and a strike with a runner at second base. Napa leading 5-3, and the pitch taken down low. Evens count at 1-1. Napa coming up with their runs in the first, third, two in the fifth, and one in the sixth. With the 1-1 count, Hiblin's next pitch cut at, missed by Brooks Green. Hunter Levitt on deck for Napa here in the seventh inning. Now it's single games play nine innings. I think if they had double headers, they'd play seven innings for each game as far as the league is concerned.
That's actually what we do in our league, the Pacific Association. If you have a double header, it's 2 7-inning games.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next pitch taken, and it's two balls, two strikes with two outs and a two-run lead. It's the pitcher, Hiblin. Gets the sign, checks the runner off of second base, now delivers to the plate, and that's down low to make the count go full. So Brooks Green, who had walked back in the fourth inning, try to use a good eye up here on this next pitch. He has a teammate, Alhambra, down at second base, and his team has a 5-3 lead here in the later innings, here in this the seventh inning. Pitch, the ball is hit to left field. Left fielder going back, still going back, and the sun is bothering a little bit, but he's able to get there, gets under it, and he makes the put out. So Green flies deep to left field to end the seventh inning. No runs. There was a hit, no errors, and there was one runner left on. We go to the eighth. It'll be the bottom part of the lineup. Silva, the eighth batter, Carrasco, and then the top of the order coming up for Mendocino College. Napa leading 5-3.
Hi, I want to talk just for a minute because people have asked me when I see folks around town. They said, "Where do you get your players from?" And the answer to that question is we get players who played in college have no more NCAA eligibility, so they could have been somebody that didn't get drafted. But their coach says, you know, if you hadn't have missed your junior season with that broken ankle, you'd have probably gotten drafted. You're better than some of the guys in the draft. What you just need is a look. And so they know that coming to an independent league, they know that they will see some scouts. I know that the scouts do come out of the game to the games. I sat with a scout from the Red Sox organization a couple of times last year. And then the other place they come from is actually affiliated baseball. They could be playing in AAA or AA or single A, and you know, maybe they're rehabbing from an injury or whatever, for whatever reason they can't get somebody to pick up a contract, and so they'll come to an independent league to play and get some exposure. And to give you a great example of somebody who played recently in the independent leagues, there's a guy named Rich Hill, I'm sure you know, was the guy that pitched the second game of the World Series this past season. He is I think it was 3 years ago, was playing for the Long Island Ducks in one of the northern leagues. Chicago signed him. He played for Chicago for a while, and then he was traded to Los Angeles in the middle of last season, and here he is pitching a World Series game. So you come out and see our games, you never know. You may see a future major leaguer or two.
Hey, after this half inning, I want you to tell us about the tryouts that you're going to be having. That's coming up very soon, and people might be interested in knowing when they can try out or could tell some of their favorite players that are not involved how they can get involved.
Absolutely.
Well, the batter here is Matt Silva leading off the top of the eighth inning, and he hits the ball down to the shortstop, past the shortstop, out into left field as Cassis comes in, picks up the ball, and fires it in. So leadoff batter Silva gets his third hit in the game. He is 3-for-4. That brings up Carrasco, the catcher. He is 0-for-3. He was safe on an error by the first baseman back in the second inning. Grounded out to the third baseman and flied out to the center fielder in his other at-bat. So he's 0-for-3 in the game. Up there now, the top of the lineup is on deck. Got Carter Kimberly there taking some swings off to the side. Pitch is taken for a strike. Good pitch there for Ray coming in right there on target. Jacob Ray, right-hander, throws over to first base, trying to keep Silva close to the bag, even though Napa has a two-run lead, 5-3 here in the eighth inning. They have six more outs to record. And the ball is bunted back to the pitcher. He's going to make the play to first base. And the sacrifice bunt goes 1-3. And that moves Silva into scoring position now. But they did that because they have the top of the lineup coming up, and they think that they can get some hits and get some runs coming in. They are down by two runs here in this eighth inning. Napa needing five more outs, two more in this inning, to see if they can have a sweep of their three-game series against Mendocino. The pitch is over, strike called. He had a notion, looked like he was going to go for it, but then he did not. Have the chance here to tell you a little bit about the standings. Maybe at the end of this half inning, or if there's a pitching change or something, when we have an opportunity. Well, he held up again, and the pitch missed that time. Leading the league at 11-3 is College of Marin. Then Los Medanos is at 9-3. Solano is at 9-4. Mendocino is next at 8-6. Here's the next delivery. Ball is hit toward right field. Right fielder going over. Still going over. Getting under it and makes the grab. The runner tagged at second base. He's going on to third base. But there are now two outs as Kimberly flies out to the right fielder. That brings Austin Jackson to the plate. Then after Mendocino, Laney College is an even 7-7. Napa Valley College is at 4-7, but they've won three in a row. Yuba College is at 4-10, and Contra Costa is at 1-13, as far as the BVC is concerned. Here's the pitch up too high for ball. So it's 1-0 to Austin Jackson, the number two batter in the order. He had a sacrifice fly and an RBI in the second inning. And the pitch to him is hit towards center field. Center fielder going back, going over to his right, getting under it. And he's got the put out, and that is the third out in the inning as Jackson flies out to Aaron Reardon in center field. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on. That's the 11th runner that they have left stranded. Wow. In the ball game through eight innings as we go into the bottom half of the eighth inning. We're going to have a change check that. We have another pitcher. It'll be the third pitcher coming in here in the eighth inning. It'll be Levitt and Whitehead, along with the top of the lineup, Reardon, scheduled up here in the eighth inning. Napa Valley College leading Mendocino 5-3 in the bottom of the eighth. And now let's find out about how somebody can try out to be on the roster for the Silverados.
Well, a week from today at Albert Park in San Rafael, the Pacific Association of Baseball Professional Baseball Clubs is having our annual tryout. We have already gotten 60 players pre-registered, which is great because the majority register the week before. What we'll do is it starts on, and for information, you can go to our website, the www.silverados.com, or you can go to the Pacific Association of Baseball Clubs website. But basically, there's a pre-registration involved, $125. And what we'll do is we'll do drills in the morning and weed out some of the players in the morning. And then after a short break, we'll have a mock game where we'll get to a chance to see some of the pitchers and players play. And then following that, we'll have a draft, and everything will be over by 3 o'clock. So Napa and Martinez will draft first. It's going to be a coin flip the day of the tryouts, and the coin flip winner will get the first pick and the fourth pick. The coin flip loser will get the second pick and the third pick. So, and then it will go back and forth among the rest of the clubs. And generally what we see happen is 10, 12, 15, probably more this year because we've got two expansion clubs, will of the players in the tryouts will get signed to spring season contracts. And then from there, then that's their opportunity to make the team. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody again. You can go to www.silveradosbaseball.com for additional information on the tryouts.
And the first pitch is down low, taken by Hunter Levitt for ball one. He walked the last time up. Other than that, he's 0-for-2 in the game. Napa leading at 5-3 here in the bottom half of the eighth inning as Levitt steps out of the batter's box. The new pitcher is Turner Gustafson. Gustafson is out of Galena High School in Reno, 5'11 sophomore, and his delivery is outside. We have a change now. Carter Pennington is warming up for that. Or he's on deck. Okay. All right. There we got it. So we're going to have that's the on-deck batter for Napa. And Levitt takes the pitches over for a strike. Hunter Levitt scored the last run for Napa, their fifth run of the ball game. Here in the bottom of the eighth, they lead it 5-3. And here comes the delivery, and he held up, and it was no swing. They had appealed down to the base umpire. He said no swing. So it's a 3-1 count. Hunter Levitt, Idaho Falls is his home, and he hits the ball foul. Kind of a low ball that kind of teed off on there. The on-deck batter, Carter Pennington, out of Columbine High School in Colorado. Kind of had some moment of fame there, but not the kind of fame that you want. Here's the pitch, and it missed for ball four. So the leadoff batter, again, that's the fourth inning that the leadoff batter for Napa has walked to lead off the inning. Happened in the second, in the fifth, in the sixth, and now here in the eighth inning. And the batter, Pennington, is in there in place of Whitehead. This was the designated hitter slot, so they're just shifting Tyler Whitehead out of there and putting Pennington in there. He's a left-handed batter, and the pitch to him, taken for a strike. The base runner, Levitt, not taking too much of a lead. His team leading at 5-3 here in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Pitcher on the mound, working from the letters. And the delivery down a little low. Evens the count now at 1-1. The top of the order on deck, Aaron Reardon out of Alhambra. He along with Abraham, classmates over there in the Martinez area. 1-1 offering now, the kick and the delivery, and the ball hit foul out of play off to the left. We're in the bottom of the eighth inning and the scheduled nine-inning contest. Here at Storm Field, Napa, California, we have the Bay Valley Conference matchup, and the ball gets away from the catcher, and that will allow Levitt to advance on down to second base. So kind of an insurance run if they can get him in. They lead it by two, but if the Eagles get a runner on base and get a home run, that could tie it up if they leave it at a 5-3 count. Like now they'd like to add on. There was another appeal as to whether the batter had gone around, and it said, no, he did not. So it makes it 2 balls and 2 strikes. And here is Gustafson's delivery, and the ball is hit slowly but foul down the first baseline. Pennington, the batter, at his first appearance. Gustafson on the mound, his first appearance. As he's the third pitcher, Koch went the first 5, and Hiblin went the next 2. And the ball is hit down to the second baseman. The first baseman had gone after it, and so the second baseman will run that direction. But the first baseman gets over there, and he underhands the ball to him for the out. On the play, Levitt went down to third base with 1 out. Kind of an insurance run there if they can bring him in. They have a good opportunity now with the runner at third and less than 2 outs. And the top of the order coming up. And Reardon is due. He is 0-for-3 and a walk. Then you've got Cassis and Banks who've had good game. Ooh, that was a good breaking pitch.
That was a wicked curveball.
Yeah, stayed on the outside and then broke across the corner of the plate. No balls and 1 strike. I don't think Ed agreed with that. The pitch... That was taken outside. Our scoreboard operator here is a longtime friend of Justin Siena Sports, Ed Kaufman. Has a son, Nathan. Some people call him Nate, who is an excellent baseball pitcher. He's attending Napa Valley College. Here's the 1-1 delivery. That missed outside. Good stop by the catcher, Carrasco, going down on his knees to block the ball. 2-1 the count, 5-3 the score. Napa in the lead, Mendocino in the field. Runner at third and 1 down. And the pitch is hit towards center field. Shallow, left fielder coming over, center fielder coming over. The left fielder makes the grab. Here comes the runner from third. Here comes the throw. There's the slide. He is safe at home as Levitt gets in on the sacrifice fly by Reardon, who gets the RBI on the play. So that ball started out like it was going to center field, and the wind blew it over toward left field. And that is the second out, but it gives the Storm their 6th run in the contest. They were trailing 3-1 at one point. That's interesting. Each of the 3 games they have played against Mendocino, they have been behind by more than 1 run. They were behind by 4 runs on Tuesday and won it then 9-5. They were down by 3 runs yesterday and won 10-6. Pitch taken outside. Nobody on base now. Cassis, who has had 3 hits, has an RBI, has scored 3 times, scored the first 3 runs for the Storm.
And stole 3 bases.
Yeah, that's right. The last time he didn't steal a base, but he had an RBI. And he hits this ball to the second baseman, and they're finally going to retire him as it goes 4-3. And Cassis is retired. In the inning, 1 run scored. No hits in the inning. There was a walk, and nobody left on. This is it. We go into the 9th. It'll be the number 3, 4, and 5 hitters coming up for Mendocino. They trail it 6-3.
And I would like to take this moment to thank you, Ira, for inviting me on the game today and letting me share with your listeners a little bit about what we've got with the Napa Silverados baseball coming to Napa Valley College. It's been a delight to work with you. I'm a rookie at this, and you've been great to let me sit and join you. So thank you very much for that. Thank you to KVON 1440 for letting me be on the radio. It sort of sounded like an extended Silverados and Napa Valley College 75th open house commercial, so I appreciate all of that. And again, we're very, very excited that we've got a partnership with KVON and that you are going to be streaming all of our games, and we look forward to you doing a few of the games if and when your schedule permits. So this has been a terrific experience for me, and again, thank you, and thanks to Julissa and Will, the owners at KVON and KVYN, and thanks to Larry. I understand Larry's on his last couple of days of work. Larry, the general manager, and I had a chance to say good morning, Bob. And who doesn't want to do that? So
right.
it's been a terrific day. And thank you so much for.
Well, I wanted to find out how you were able to sabotage our engineering equipment so that our commercials wouldn't play, so that we could talk all the way about the Silverado.
Everyone has their secrets.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got some secrets too. No,
yeah.
it was very fortunate. I mean, you can't ask for a better platform than this to talk about baseball.
You know,
so thank you so much.
Charles, our engineer, knows enough about our commercials there that he could probably just recite them, and we could have done that, had Charles Kennedy recite the commercials on our break, since we have our engineering problem where we can't play them.
Well, it worked out just fine for me. So again,
yeah,
thank
it worked
you
out just fine for Charles, or I'll be there too. Yeah, you get that. Well, the first pitch is hit foul. Oh, this is one of the best players in the game. This guy has to be their number one player up there now that is leading off. This is Jacob Alvarez. He's had three hits today, and he looks like a ball player. I mean, he takes the pitch outside, gets by the catcher, and goes all the way to the backstop. Alvarez singled and went to third in the first inning, had a single in the second inning, flied out to the left fielder in the fifth, had a single and got around to third in the seventh inning.
So, and made a spectacular catch in center field.
Yes, running and sticking up, then he slaps at the ball and smacks it down the left field line. Alvarez is to be followed by their cleanup hitter, Joe Brazil, and then Jay Guerrero. Napa is leading 6-3. We're in the ninth inning. This is the last chance here at the top of the ninth inning for Mendocino College Eagles out of Ukiah, coached by Connor Bird in his second year. And the pitch is on the way and taken. Boy, that was one of those that it's the changeup that you want to have the batter swing at, because it's just kind of floating up there, sort of like a knuckler, but it dropped down into the dirt and makes the count. Two balls, two strikes to leadoff batter Alvarez out of Pleasant Grove. And here comes Jacob Ray's next delivery. The ball's hit up the middle, fielded by the second baseman right behind the bag over to first. They got him! So Alvarez leads off the ninth, grounding out to the second baseman. They had him shaded there where that second baseman was right behind the bag at second. Played him perfectly. Otherwise, that would have been a base hit.
Right. Well played.
Yeah, well positioned on there. As Joe Brazil, he had a double and drove in a run in the first inning. Called out on strikes, grounded out to the third baseman, flied out to the right fielder, and takes ball one on the first pitch. Brazil, a freshman, lives in Ukiah. He went to Ukiah High School. The pitch outside, taken for a ball. So we have one down and a 6-3 Napa Valley College lead, trying to sweep the three-game series from Mendocino. Pitch taken down low. And in the standings, Mendocino in fourth place, Napa in sixth place. But if Napa can hold on to win, that would be their fourth win in a row. They were 1-7 in the league, I think, before they started the streak. Pitch of the taken for a strike, makes it 3-1. So Brazil had started down to first base, back there in the batter's box now, as the delivery and the ball is popped. It may go out of play. The catcher may have a play on it. Coming back. He does have a play, and he makes the grab. Oh, great play there by Josh Abraham. Got under the ball on the pop-up and gets the second out. And gets rid of a very good batter there in Joe Brazil. So the last hope now for Mendocino. They're trailing 6-3. At one time, they led 3-1 in the ball game. Napa Valley College trying for their fourth win in a row, as their coach Dan Parker said they're putting it together now. They've had a chance to get practices in. They know where to situate their players. Pitch is taken for a strike. Guerrero is 1-for-4 in the game. There are two outs and nobody on, and Napa's leading 6-3. And Ray delivers outside and away from the left-handed batter. So the right-hander, Jacob Ray, in relief of Ben Gigi. Here is the 1-1 pitch. Ball's hit down the left field line. It's going to be foul. It's going to be a long run, but the left fielder gave it a try to get over there. Joey Casas, who's had a really good day.
Yeah, he had a great day today. I mean, he did it all.
Well, we usually select at the end of the games our players of the game, so he'd be a good one to keep in mind.
I think so too. He stole three bases, scored the first three runs. Did a great job. And got whacked in the head too.
Three hits and a walk and an RBI. There, the pitch is down low to the left-hander Guerrero. Jacob Ray from Napa on the mound for Napa Valley College. It's a 2-2 count with two down in the ninth inning. And here's the pitch. Ooh, it missed, but not by much. That Giants game the other day, the umpire made a bad call on the final out of the ball game on a pitch that did not appear close to the strike zone. And they were not too pleased with that. Right now, we're pretty pleased with the umpiring today. The 3-2 delivery is hit, it's a little foul, just off to the right. Count holds, three balls, two strikes, nobody on base, and a 6-3 lead for Napa Valley College. Napa Valley has Justin Banks, the first baseman, Andrew Shaw, the second baseman, Sam Dinnerman over at short, and Hunter Levitt in at third base. Cassis out in left field, Reardon in center, and Green over in right. Pitch is made. Ball's hit down to the shortstop. Fielded there by Dinnerman. Over to first. In time, and that's the ball game. A good play by Dinnerman to retire the Eagles here in the ninth inning. And that's the ball game. A three-game sweep for Napa over Mendocino, and their fourth win in a row as they – continue to improve. They played a good game today.
Yeah, it was just a great day for baseball. I mean, how do you beat this weather? How do you beat a victory? And it's Ed's got his broom out. He's not sweeping up sunflower seeds. He's just showing everybody that Napa just swept the Eagles.
All these sunflower seeds, they come from Ed. You see around here. Nice game on the 75th anniversary by Napa Valley College.
Absolutely. Just a great day. Just a great day for the college, a great day for the Silverados, because we got to talk about what we're doing here the end of next month and in June, July, and August. And we look forward to having everybody come out and see professional baseball in Napa. It's fun, affordable family entertainment. And we're really looking forward to providing that opportunity for families to bring their kids out and meet some professional ball players.
Well, while Mendocino had three runs, they did have 11 hits in the ball game, but they left, I think, 11 stranded. Let's see, they left 11 runners stranded. They left at least one in every inning except the third and the ninth innings. They were both 1-2-3 innings, but they left two on in four of the innings.
Wow.
Now looking at the batting for Napa Valley College, Aaron Reardon was 0-for-3, had a sacrifice fly and a walk. Joey Casas was 3-for-4, a walk and three runs scored and three steals. Justin Banks was 2-for-3. He had a fly out for the out that he made. He walked one time. He had two RBIs. Josh Abraham from Alhambra was 1-for-4. Had a base hit and safe on an error. Sam Dinnerman had a walk, was hit by a pitched ball, and a sacrifice bunt. He was 0-for-1. And Andrew, so even though he was at the plate four times, he was just 0 for 1. Andrew Shaw walked once and 0 for 3 otherwise. Brooks Green was 0 for 3 plus a walk. Hunter Levitt, 0 for 2 and 2 walks and scored 2 runs. Tyler Whitehead was 0 for 3, and Pennington was 0 for 1. So they came up with a total of just 6 hits, but they made them count. They got them in the right spots.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, a terrific game by Joey Casas. He did it all at the plate. So he gets my vote for your KVON player of the game.
Yeah, I don't see how we can go wrong with that. So congratulations to Dan Parker and his crew as they now go to 11-19. They are 5-7 in the league, but they've won 4 in a row. They're playing good baseball now. Early in the season, they did not have a chance to practice out here in the field, as you know, from the conditions and all. And so they're putting it together now nicely. They're getting some pitching as well. Had 2 pitchers in today's game. Ben Agigi went the first 5 innings, and Jacob Bray then worked the last 4 innings. And did not give up a run. That's what you want to see in a relief pitcher.
Absolutely. Looked really good out there.
Yeah. And so that is pretty much our story as the Eagles drop to 18-15. You know, that's a pretty good record. They're still over 500. They are still over 500 in the league. They are 8-7 in the league with 3 of those losses to Napa.
And three in a row.
Yeah. They sweep the series there. Well, we'd like to thank our Napa Valley Sports Boosters as they make it possible for us to cover the scene. And due to technical difficulties, we're unable to play their commercials today. But still, our appreciation goes out to them. And a special thank you to our guest, as Bruce Johnston, the owner and the general manager of the Silverados, really helped us today. This was the perfect time for you to come in when we had this problem, because you could tell us about the Silverados, which we wanted to know about anyway. You could tell us about the 75th anniversary of the college, which is one of the reasons we are out here today.
Right.
So how well that worked out.
Well, again, thank you for the opportunity, Ira. It's just a delight to work with you, and you made it very easy for me, so thank you for that.
Well, it rolled right along in spite of not being able to get our commercials in. And coming up a little later this afternoon, we have Sharks hockey on as the Sharks, I think about 7 o'clock, Dan Ruzanowski comes on with the pregame against the Anaheim Ducks. And as you probably know, the Sharks won their opening game of this best-of-7 series 3-0, and they'll be home on Monday and Wednesday of this next week with the home contest against the Ducks. But we have them on the radio tonight. And any final comment that you might have, Bruce, to wrap it up here?
You know what? If you love baseball, you should have been out here today. Saw a fun game. And if you love baseball, we're going to invite you out June, July, and August. Again, take a look at – you can find a lot of information on our website, www.silverados.com. We've got the tryouts coming in a week, so we'll have some more announcements. We're going to have some additional announcements this week of some sponsors that have signed on with us that we're very, very happy about. And so we're just looking forward for Napa to getting behind Napa Silverados baseball. We want everybody to catch silver fever, and the only cure is to come watch a game.
There, you got silver fever in there. What about Storm Field? Can you, as you look around here, are you going to see many changes?
Well, you're going to see upgrades in the bleachers. We're going to take out the existing bleachers. We're bringing in 450 brand new bleacher seats. Down on the right field line past the dugout, there'll be a premium seating area where you can have there will be chairs and tables instead of bleachers, and you'll be able to set your beverage or food on the side. We're upgrading the lighting, so 100% of the lights will be working. We're upgrading the PA system, and we're going to create a special area for seating right on the backstop behind home plate. We're going to have some great concessions with the Napa Valley College Culinary Program food truck out here. So you're going to see some changes. And just so everyone's very clear, all of these changes are absolutely funded by the team. There are no public dollars involved in any of this. We're doing this so we can create a great fan experience because we don't want people to come out for one game. We want people not to miss a game.
Well, we thank you for bringing professional baseball to Napa and particularly helping us today. Thank you. And Charles Kennedy has been our engineer. It's been a tough assignment for him back there, but we appreciate all he does. And also our thanks to Ed Kaufman. He runs the scoreboard and helps us out on particular changes in lineups and all. He's the first one to notice those kind of things. And best wishes to Nate, his son, as he continues to be with this Napa Valley College team as one of their pitchers and does a real good job, as he did with Justin Sienna. So that, well, wraps it up. From Napa Valley College, I'm Ira C. Smith, reminding you our final today. It was the Napa Valley College Storm 6 and Mendocino College Eagles 3.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.